The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig. Craig Carton with you for the next 30 minutes of frank, open, honest conversation about gambling addiction and compulsive gamblers like myself. And as always, Dan Trelara joining us. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Craig. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Really good. And really happy to have, for the first time on the show, State Senator John McKeon from New Jersey, Madison, New Jersey, to be exact. Senator McKeon, good morning. Thanks for joining us for a few moments today.
Good morning and thanks. I feel like I need to say longtime listener, first time caller.
I'll take it. I appreciate it. Thank you. So, you know, it's interesting. Jersey kind of, you know, led the legalization of online wagering, as you're obviously very well aware of. And now more than 30 states have followed suit. And with that, you know, come the doubters, come the people who are against the concept of letting people gamble so freely, especially with the advent of gambling on the phone. Before I get into some of the specifics of what you and your kind of like-minded colleagues are talking about when you think about the future of gambling in the state of New Jersey, give me a sense overall on your thoughts, kind of emotional thoughts, guttural thoughts, since gambling became legal in your state.
So Craig, first off, really congratulations for being so brave as you are as it relates to sharing every week like this. It means a lot to a lot of people, so I just want to thank you for that. And look, it's 38 states now where there's legalized gambling, and the genie is out of the bottle. So none of this is about, we need to, you know, go back to prohibiting gambling. That is never going to happen. It's more a matter of recognizing the fallout. I mean, in New Jersey alone, and we're leading the way because our state was the first to legalize gambling, you know, online gambling and right. and sports gambling, that there is 200,000 New Jerseyans. 200,000 that are problem gamblers. And that's the study right out of Rutgers. I know you've had Professor Nguyen on this show before. That's an enormous number of individuals. We've got to curb that trend as they continue to get larger, and we need to be in a position to help them.
Yeah, you know, one of the aspects of that, and I don't want to put you on the spot, you know, to break down the number of 200,000, but I found, and I know Danny can speak to this as well, you know, I spend a few hours every day, 7 days a week, 365, you know, counseling families who have a teenage kid, a kid in the 20s, who is now faced with the reality that they've become a problem gambler and they've lost money, whether it's through the legal sites or the black market sites that do exist, not just in Jersey, of course, but, you know, worldwide, certainly, you know, coast to coast in this country. Is that it's the growing number, the fastest growing number of problem gamblers are younger people. Now, many of them are not doing it, quote unquote, legally. But what's your level of concern that out of the 200,000 that the study acknowledges have a problem? And obviously, there's a variety of problems. There's a 10 out of 10, a 1 out of 10, but they're still problem gamblers. Where's your level of concern that this is now invading our high schools? Because I can tell you, as a guy that's kind of on the front lines of this, it is invading your high schools.
Well, I'll tell you what, Craig, go into a high school, and if the kids are going to tell the truth, ask any class how many of them have gambled, and 90% of them are going to raise their hands.
Right.
We know in our helpline, you know, in New Jersey that just since 2019, since we legalized, over a 277% increase in calls of individuals under 34. Look, it's addictive, as you know. It's actually physiological, right? There's so many opportunities, immediate gratification, dopamine rushes, and the younger you are, the more vulnerable you are and more vulnerable to become addicted. So it is a huge problem among our youth. Just listen, you go to a game and see how many kids are on their phones involved with prop bets.
Let me ask you this, because this is one of my little bugaboos. You know, there's people like you who care, who recognize that maybe epidemic is too strong a word, but it's a problem for sure. And it's a growing problem, especially amongst younger people. And one of my things, and Danny's probably sick of hearing me talk about it, the state of New Jersey, like the 37 other states that have approved this and legalized it, love this new windfall of money. You know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars nationwide. And I've yet to see the state that says, you know what, we're going to take 10%, 20%, 30%, make up an arbitrary number, and we're going to use the money that's coming in through gambling to help problem gamblers, whether that's setting up a rehab center, making it a free, you know, destination where I can walk in the front door, or a parent can bring their kid into the front door and meet, you know, qualified, educated counselors to help combat the problem. Can Jersey be the leader in that, the way it was the leader in the legalization of wagering?
Well, we're hoping to, and thanks for lobbing that softball, because that breaks into a whole, you know, a bunch of the different legislation or proposed legislation that we have put forth before the state and the legislature to do just that. You know, I mean, just starting with something simple as it relates to warning labels, any kind of advertising. You know, you talk about young Craig, think about back in the day, they took away Joe Camel because it was a cartoon and it was going to appeal to kids. Well, what are kids more passionate about than sports? And when they turn on, whether it's the fan, quite frankly, or the Super Bowl, it's all about sports betting, right? Yeah. So we're really exposing the kids to any of this without any kind of warning, without any kind of public awareness. So a lot of the legislation being proposed is going to be taking a sum of that money and going to into doing just what you were suggesting. The thing that makes me crazy are the sites that they have up as it relates to non-wagering games. You know, it's like candy cigarettes for kids, right? It's teaching them to gamble, if you will, and it gets them into wanting to then explore to do it for real. So there's many pieces of legislation here that are going to hopefully combat all of it. And speaking of problem gamblers, by the way, there's not an industry in this nation that has, you know, just blank, no civil liability, no civil responsibility. There should be a civil way when the industry acts in a wanton and willful way that goes after problem gamblers, making it, you know, even more difficult on them to resist, that they should have a civil remedy for that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I know, you know, there's been a handful of lawsuits throughout the country. There's been one that I know quite well in New Jersey where a compulsive gambler claims, you know, it's not my fault. They kept sending me ads and, you know, bonus money and free money bets and all the stuff that, that you're alluding to. And that's always been a losing case in court because, you know, no one held a gun to your head. Yet, you know, a drug dealer does go to prison if they get caught dealing drugs, right? I guess in the liquor business, a bartender can go to prison if they've served someone who's had too much to drink. We're just not quite there yet, which, you know, I can accept as the infancy of legalized gambling. And we will get to a place where, you know, I guess smarter minds kind of come together to help regulate protecting people who can't protect themselves. But as you look at it, how much fight do you expect to get when you guys debate these kinds of thing in the state capitol regarding, you know, now taking all this money that we're all happy to have and using it for the things that you're talking about, education, you know, a safe play marketing campaign, you know, treatment centers like I'm talking about? Do you expect a fight or no?
Well, I'm surely going to expect a fight. And, you know, funny enough, that lawsuit that you mentioned, that's because the judges said the legislature hasn't. They have a book of regulations that's a foot thick, but there's nothing in there creating a legal remedy as it relates to a civil cause of action. So one of the pieces of legislation is to do just that. When the industry acts with reckless indifference toward a known gambler, then they're civilly responsible for that, for the money they lost and for the damage they caused. Regarding the fight, very interesting. In our state, we're unique, and uniquely in a good way. You know, there are no like standalone online, unless they're illegal, online gaming. They're all tied into our casino brick and mortar licenses or to the horse racing industry. So quite frankly, the revenues that are coming through what's a wildly successful, you know, for-profit business through the online gaming, a piece of that's going to keep brick-and-mortar doors open. So the fight's going to come, and maybe rightfully so. There's 24,000 jobs down Atlantic City. Sure. So if we want to keep those doors open, you know, a good part of this revenue, you know, needs to go to them for doing that. Now, I'm no futurist, but think of how much money you could make just, you know, through an iPhone, as opposed to why go through all the expense and time and
sure,
risk of brick-and-mortar casinos. I think they're going to go the way to the dinosaur in the next 10 years. And I don't, hopefully, I don't mean New Jersey, but really all over the country other than Vegas.
Well, look, as you know, the best thing that happened in New Jersey was actually, believe it or not, shuttering the doors of a handful of casinos and getting down to, I think it was 7 at one point. 9 may be the actual answer, so you can correct me on that. And that actually benefited the overall Atlantic City business for the state of New Jersey. But if I'm not mistaken, for a long time, well before, you know, legalized wagering on your phone and sports wagering became all the rage, you know, the brick-and-mortar casinos simply wrote a $100,000 check and wiped their hands of it, and that covered them when it came to any type of, you know, messaging and doing the right thing on behalf of their customers. Now, I'm not sure if that number's changed, but it used to be 100 grand and you were cleaned. Is that still the case?
Listen, whatever help that we get from the gaming industry in dealing with these problems, it's a pittance compared to the enormity of the problem. And, you know, Craig, from personal experience, you know, it's not just the problem gambler. It's the 10 people in their lives that it impacts. And,
right.
You know,
yes.
So this is a big statewide problem. And we need more help from the gaming industry. And we need to get a handle on this ourselves to curb the growth pattern, which is what's really scary, and to do something about those that are unfortunately impacted.
Yeah, I'm friendly with Matt Palatkin, the Attorney General for New Jersey, and I know he's all about it. And their staff is working on this on a regular basis, like I'm sure your staff is. Dan, you were the assistant director of 1-800-GAMBLER, which is a New Jersey-based line, and you know recently has gotten some national love, where you can call 1-800-GAMBLER no matter where you are in this country, which is just smart. It should be a universal number as opposed to every state having their own number. The numbers are impossible to remember.
Right.
When you hear someone like Senator McKean here talking about how he is concerned, you know, for his constituents, obviously, and the people that put him in office, for someone that fought the fight in New Jersey on the ground, what's your take on what you're hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think we've overlapped quite a bit, Senator, because, you know, I was down with Assembly Gaming and Tourism, kind of down there meeting with some folks, talking about some of the very same topics we're talking about today, you know, harassment, fantasy sports, sports betting, more resources. You know, some of those stats that we pulled from 2019, I started tracking those stats. Is a month-over-month increase in helpline calls as it pertains to sports betting. And I echo your concerns and your good efforts, because we do need to do more. You know, I was actually just this past week at a boot camp up in Seton Hall University, and, you know, we're talking about integrity and compliance, and working with some of the Division of Gaming Enforcement was there. And, you know, they're looking to say, you know, what ways can we make this state safer and just a safer form of gambling, responsible gambling, whatever terminology to use. And some of it does come back to the marketing and also the promotion of the illegal sites. It's really amazing when I talk to college-age individuals how many of them think that they're betting on legal, regulated sites, but it's not. You know, BetOnline, MyBookie, BetUS, those are illegal offshore sites, but they're promoted and they're pushed to the top of the search page. So some of responsible gambling also includes nailing down on these black market operators and getting them out of the state too. So, you know, it's a multi-tiered, multi-level approach, and I appreciate some of the good work you're doing.
So, Senator, you hear what Dan's talking about in regards to what he did at Seton Hall and the fact that it can be confusing for younger people to understand what site's legal, what site's illegal, am I doing anything wrong? And I imagine that's part of your overall concern, yeah?
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned Matt Platkin before. He's doing a real good job to try to root all that out. Quite frankly, the legal industry themselves has more to gain than anybody to making certain that people go to the places where they're paying taxes and what's part of their business enterprise. But, you know, Dan mentioned something before. This is all like marketing, right? Did you ever hear the industry call it gambling? No, they call it gaming, because gaming is fun and harmless, whereas gambling, yeah, maybe someone thinks twice. So, I mean, this is all marketing, and we've got to be careful that it's at least truth in advertising, so people know what they're getting themselves into, and particularly the most vulnerable, which are the young. And as we know, statistically, they're the ones that are really, unfortunately, becoming problem gamblers.
Well, I can tell you this. I spoke at West Morris Mendham High School last year. I'm speaking at Milburn High School coming up in a few weeks. I spoke at Del Barton a few months ago as well. as you guys try to figure out the messaging for young people, please use me and use Dan as a resource. I will speak to every single New Jersey high school if I can, and you guys will allow me to, just so parents and educators and principals and the kids themselves can hear from someone who lived the experience that they think is so awesome, so I can walk them through why it's not that awesome and some of the pitfalls and dangers that exist if they decide to gamble at any point in their lives. And I appreciate what you're doing, and I know you're a busy man. Appreciate you coming on the show, and look forward to seeing you in person sometime soon. Thank you so much.
I'd like that too, Craig. And as you know, our kids don't listen to us, but somebody that has a voice like yours that the kids look up to from your, sports fame, that means a lot to them as far as your message. And thank you for what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Well, let's get it together and appreciate what you're doing and look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. You as well.
Take care. We'll continue on in a moment with Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
All right, welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Great to have Senator McKeon on and other like-minded politicians who do want to, protect us, sometimes from ourselves, which I certainly would have needed, and Dan back in the day would have needed as well. Dan, I find us in March. That means March Madness is coming up, the basketball tournament. And now there's a new tournament called the Crown, which will start mid-March, late March as well for the teams, kind of like the old NIT type of tournament. Yeah. Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, who are part of that upcoming tournament, which just means more college games that people are going to wager on that they know nothing about. March is also Problem Gambling Awareness Month. So give me a little of your history and background on why March and what the concerns are as we're now post-Super Bowl, baseball a couple of weeks away, but for a two-and-a-half, three-week period, all eyes are on college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, Problem Gambling Awareness Month, it started as just a very short period of time, just a week, and it's just evolved over the years. It's been around for, 10, 12 years or so, maybe a little longer than that. And the goal is to highlight problematic gambling, right? Recognizing the warning signs that some people may start to experience. This is different than responsible gambling education week or month, which is in September. And we talk a lot in the industry that we have to, make sure that we're always separating the two. Obviously, if you play in a safe manner, you reduce the risk of developing a problem. So they're connected. But this is the month where we talk about, let's share stories. The work that we do, Craig, every week on Hello, My Name is Craig, the work that you're doing in high schools and working with families, the work that I'm doing traveling the country, working with NCAA and also starting to do more work in high schools as well, we have to highlight that for some people, they start to experience harm. And the concern that you and I both talk about regularly is more and more young people are getting access and availability to gambling at earlier ages. And we know the studies consistently show that the earlier you start an activity without seeing the negatives, the more likely you are to adopt that as a habit. And that's part of the concern we're seeing. And
yeah, so look, it's a vice like any other vice, no better or worse. And, so I was just thinking this as you were speaking there. Every single one of us had a sip of beer, a drink before we turned 21.
Yep.
Or if you're old enough to remember when the drinking age was 18, I'm not. But you had a drink before you were 18. It's kind of like a part of growing up, that you're going to bucket a little bit and you and your buddies are going to have a beer. Or maybe you're at dinner, your parents, they'll give you your first sip of wine. It's not even a big deal. What I find, though, with the younger people, the high school kids, that I've now been counseling that are now a part of my daily, call log to check in on them, is that a lot of these high school kids have a mom or dad who opens up a legal account. Forget about the black market stuff for a moment. And it's on their credit card or their bank account. And that's how it gets started. And the kid, wins or loses. But when the kid loses, the mom or dad's paying it. So the kid is now gambling on an active basis. And yes, it's a bonding thing between a kid and their parent. Hey, we're watching the ball game tonight. And my dad and I have $20 on the game. Something along those lines. And the parent is yearning for a connection to their kid. And gambling now provided it. And the reality is that when the kid loses the bet, the father or mother is paying the debt. So we're creating a generation of gamblers in their late teenage or mid-teenage years who are actively wagering under the guise of it's safe, it's fine, my parents know about it because they're doing it with me. But the kid has no experience or sensation of ever losing. Because when they lose the bet, the parent's paying it.
Yeah,
and that is becoming, for the people I'm talking to, a real problem.
And you know, and to further that, right? So now the young person doesn't know, really understand the product and how it works. They don't understand odds. They don't understand lines. They don't understand, and they know that they're getting covered. But Craig, going back to what you said, yeah, we drank early. We drank underage. Some people, you know, did smoke pot. You know, some people did illicit drugs. But you know what? In the schools, there was education and topics that talked about those things. They talk about stranger danger and substance and alcohol. There is no high school that requires or provides really gambling education. I was just down at Louisville, okay, last week. Student athletes, 500 student athletes, two of them had gambling education before college. And those two individuals were from Australia, which has some of the highest rates of problematic gambling activity.
And I'll do you one better. When we were growing up in the 70s and 80s, if I wanted to drink or, you know, experiment with your marijuana or whatever, I couldn't do it on my phone in class.
Right.
You know?
That's right. It's so the delivery.
That's the other problem. Like, if I showed up to school drunk or high, I would have been in trouble. But I can gamble in school on my phone. And then, look, that's right. I don't know if there's ever going to be a solution to that part of the problem, but that's why it is so different from drugs and alcohol, because I can do it 24/7 and you'd never know.
And you mask the symptoms, right? There's no smell on the breath. There's no track marks. You can't tell. And that's why gambling for some people could be so devastating, because it's an emotional issue. It's a process. It's a process you go through in your brain, and people can't see that. And then they see then the fallout. They see the poor grades, the lack of sleep, you know, the financial difficulties, whatever it might be, people texting or calling late at night, you know, that you don't know. So that's why it can be so devastating, 100%.
Well, look, I loved doing it when I did it, and yet it is part of the reason I lost everything I ever had. So, you know, it's you know, that, and that's the rub on it. And that's why sharing my experience, you sharing yours to so many people coast to coast, you'll resonate so much and it's so powerful, because it's not like I'm a no disrespect to a teacher standing in front of a classroom trying to convince kids why you shouldn't bet a 12-leg parlay, but that teacher never did it. So the fact that we've more and more people who are willing to share their lived experience, why that those stories are so important and powerful, because a teacher standing in front of a room full of 500 kids at Louisville, or like for me, I was just down in Austin talking to the kids at the University of Texas. In Texas, it's not even legal there yet, but one day it probably will be. Why our stories resonate so much, because the kids recognize a teacher talking about something they never did doesn't mean anything. And that's why when I went to University of Texas and I stand in front of kids and tell my story about going from, you know, having $1 million in the bank to turning over couch cushions looking for change so I could buy a slice of pizza, why those stories are powerful and need to be told, and why a show like this, which is still amazingly a show that's one of one, these shows don't exist. And that's unfortunate, because more people need to share their gambling stories and their stories of woe, so that kids and young people recognize what might very well befall them too. So much more on that coming up. Always good having you on, Dan. Any last words you have?
Yeah, you know, as for Problem Gambling Awareness Month, the theme for the month is seeking understanding. And the things that we're talking about is trying to encourage people to learn more, right? Open your ears, shut your mouth, listen to stories, understand how this can become a problem for people, understand the resources, but just, you know, seek first to understand. And that's what we're trying to help people understand the nature of this and have conversation to reduce stigma. And, you know, we're going to keep doing what we do, you know, day in and day out.
Well, always appreciate you, and we'll do it again next week. That's Dan Trillaro. This is Hello, My Name is Craig. Coming up next, Joe Beningo. Enjoy the rest of your weekend right here on Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan.